The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
Little breezy out today at Augusta, but the sun's out. Hasn't made the course any easier. Some players are struggling, but there you go. You look at the leaderboard and guess who's at the top. Scottie Scheffler, although he just had a little challenge he's dealing with right now. But Scheffler, the leader right now, 7-under. Bryson DeChambeau at 6-under. Max Homa as well at 6-under. So the Masters is one of the great sporting events of the year. Even those of you who aren't avid golf fans, don't follow it all year, you're probably tuning into the Masters because it's such a spectacle. I love it. It's great. There's something special about it that separates it from all other golf tournaments, and it's going to be a special weekend. We look forward to watching it. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how, like Doug. Hey, Doug. Let's go to Augusta right now. Brian Taylor's there. He's the cut at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You can hear him on Real Golf Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays right here on the KSL Sports Zone. He is Brian Taylor. Brian, how's Augusta today?
It's the caddy that joins us. He said he's dubbing it the Gust. It is absolutely. You see what he did there? Yeah, it's a good caddy
nice.
For him. But it's unbelievable. This win. You know, we've been coming for a long time, and Scottie Scheffler said he's played in a windy round out here that he remembers. And I was trying. And he's only played in four or five of them. So it's obviously been in recent memory. But I cannot remember sustained wins like this. I mean, you get the occasional wins in the afternoon that come up and things like that, but this has been unreal. I mean, just to give you an example, I mean, if you're watching the coverage, the sand is blowing out of the greens on 18 up on, you know, out of the bunker up onto the greens. Max Homa was playing with Tiger Woods, and he talked about how they got sandblasted for about 45 seconds while they were waiting to putt, and he had to turn his head so he didn't get sand in his eyes and things like that. I mean, stuff you never see around here. It's unreal.
That's Laramie win, not Augusta. That's crazy.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
let's get into the leaderboard. Obviously, we talked about earlier in the week. It's, you know, I asked you, I joked around with you. I says, who do you think is going to win, and why is it Scottie Scheffler? Well, here we are, round number 2 through 11. It's Scottie at the top of the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what you hope for if you're coming to watch a tournament. You know, the best players in the world doing what they do, and that's what he's doing right now. He's taking care of business. And, you know, Bryson went out there and put up some nice numbers and kind of made you wonder if he was going to go out and put the pressure on. And he struggled with a couple bogeys coming down the stretch. But, you know, Scottie's just, you know, he's not without his struggles. You know, he had a bogey on 5, which a lot of players did today, bogeyed 7. And, you know, but again, bounce back birdies at 8, bounce back birdie at 10, it's a heck of a birdie on 10. I mean, what you have to understand is the wind blowing the way it does, as you descend down 10 into Amen Corner, you're dropping, it feels like 150 feet or something. And so you get down in there where you're a little bit blocked out by the pines, and so you can't necessarily feel the wind. So now it brings another element into these guys where they actually try to flight the shot below the tips of the pines so that they can try to control the wind as it is what they're feeling instead of getting it up above the trees and subjecting it to the wind that's obviously up there but is kind of blocked out given that they've dropped down into the little hollow area there. So, I mean, to see and have these guys understand to be able to flight their ball, and Scottie's obviously doing the best of it currently leading, but it's unreal. It's been a real ball-striking, you know, kind of course management type of tournament so far. So I guess it'd be equivalent to those of you that like a defensive battle, you know, in football. It's been a lot more than that than an offensive showcase.
An interesting side story about Scottie Scheffler is his wife is close to going into labor. Brian, is it possible he could leave the Masters in the middle of Masters to leave and go to his wife? This is crazy that this is a situation that exists right now during Masters weekend.
Yeah, it happens. And he did say that he would leave on a moment's notice. He's not going to miss the birth of his first child. And But he said, "You look, she's still a month out," and he said that there hasn't been any of those signs, you know, that she might be getting to that point. So he feels pretty confident. But you know, he also acknowledged that pregnancies, you know, they happen when they're going to happen. And so if it does, he said she knows how to get a hold of me, and I'll be there. So it's kind of reminiscent of Phil Mickelson in 1999 in Pinehurst when he was playing the U.S. Open with Payne Stewart, and he wore a pager, if you remember back the technology of the 90s. Amy was about to give birth to their first child, and he was ready to leave. He wore that the whole way around and ended up finishing runner-up to Payne. But yeah, that's it's an interesting thing. And at that point, Phil was trying to get his first major championship, and in this case, Scotty's already got a master, so it's probably a little easier for him to pick up and go if he needed to. But man, he is definitely playing some really, really good golf. I'm sure he'd hate to not be able to finish the job that he's got going right now.
Brian, when we talked about side stories, one of the craziest things that emerged on Friday was the image of Bryson DeChambeau carrying a sign that's a concession sign, Southgate sign. What was going on with all that?
You know, actually, I was just talking to your producer, and he was telling me a little bit about what happened there. I saw the image, and I hadn't read the story. We've been in grind mode, you know, putting together the show and everything, and I'm like, what in the heck is Bryson doing with that sign, like Paul Bunyan with a big axe over his shoulder, right? I mean, that's like, could you ask for a more appropriate thing for Bryson to just kind of pick up a sign and move it? I initially thought, given the wind, that maybe it had blown down, and he'd picked it up to try to move it out of the way, but apparently it was in his line of flight, and he just said, I'll take care of it. You know, look, signs are temporary and movable objects, so certainly it can be moved, or he could take a drop away from it, but apparently he must have liked where he was, and he just decided to take it into his own hands and pick that thing up and moved it, which is that's classic Bryson. I mean, he is entertaining, I'll give you that.
He is entertaining. Another story about him is he's using 3D printed irons that were only approved by the USGA on Monday. Can you give us you know better than anybody, like, what is he really like? He's an odd dude.
He's odd. He's for sure odd. I mean, when he came out, you know, he just decided to turn everything upside down and reinvent golf, played Bryson's way. And, you know, he's got – his irons are all one length. You know, we hadn't really ever seen that before. So his pitching wedge is the same length as his four iron, for instance. And, you know, that's unusual. Typically, your longer irons are longer, hence the name, and then your shorter irons, like your wedges and things like that. So it's a – you know, I shouldn't say four iron. I think actually everything was the length of a six iron. Nevertheless, it was a unique kind of style. He tried different things where he pumped himself up. He'd spent about a year or so, and he gained, I don't know, 30, 40 pounds of muscle and got all huge and decided that the answer was all in distance and he could overpower the game of golf. And that lasted for a little while, and he decided to back that off. And I mean, he was eating an obscene amount of calories during that whole time and working out like crazy. And he did go on to win the U.S. Open at Wingfoot during that time, which was remarkable. And so he's done some things. He's had some success. I think a lot of people would suggest maybe he's a little too smart for his own good in some of these cases. But this particular one is really unique. When you talk about changing equipment, that's a very personal thing, especially at that level. Guys need to be able to fully trust what they're doing. They need to have total confidence. And they need to have some, you know, usually some data to suggest how clubs work. Because even when they're built to your specs, there's oftentimes some tweaks that, especially at that level, that guys will make. So for him to barely get those things in play, get them approved, and get out there and play them this week is pretty unreal. And he's also incorporating some technology. You probably heard bulge that's been mentioned. Well, bulge is kind of like the roundedness of a club from heel to toe. And then the roll is from top to bottom, if you will. And that's usually seen on fairway woods or drivers and things like that. It goes all the way back to the wooden clubs, and it kind of creates a gear effect. So if you miss one out on the right side of the club, it brings it back left. If you hit it on the left side of the clubs, it brings it back right. It's a way to sort of counterbalance or counter-correct a missed shot. And he's incorporated that into irons, which – to my knowledge, has never been done before. So it's pretty fascinating stuff that we call him the mad scientist out here a little bit, and he's got something cooking right now.
Tiger Woods made the cut, and with an even par round today. How impressive is it to think that Tiger reaching his 24th consecutive cut, and who could be the potential pairings with him on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm not sure on the pairings just yet, but it is, I mean, it's awesome. It's another record for Tiger Woods. And especially given his physical limitations, it's a real testament to his fortitude, to his, you know, willpower, and to the way he's taking care of his body that right now is broken in so many ways. And yet he's, you know, doing what he needs to do in order to, you know, to be able to play through it, given the cards he's been dealt. So in his answer to the question of about getting the record, what does it mean? He said, it means I'm here. It means I'm around for the weekend. It means I've got a shot. You know, so he blew it off. But earlier in the week when asked about it, he did say it speaks to longevity and it speaks to his high level of play over time and things like that. So he does have an appreciation for it, but it really, by his answers, felt like he's still in the middle of this tournament. He's still in his mindset as a champion that, you know, until the final horn sounds and he didn't win, he's still trying to win. And I'm sure you can appreciate that and understand that a little bit as well. And so, that's where he's at. He says, look, I'm only 8 back at the moment. And, I think everything's going to stay bunched. And so we're just going to do what we can do to get some rest, get some food and be ready to go to work tomorrow.
Tony Finau, 3 over through 16 today, 2 over for the tournament. And, he's certainly not out of it at this point, but, Tony's going to have to has a lot of work to do to get back in this. What's been some of his struggles?
You know, I watched him today and he did struggle a little bit. He had the unfortunate 3-putt. He missed a couple of shots where he just got loose. The double bogey on 4, he just missed it to the green to the right, dumped it in the bunker, and then didn't get it up and down. Really uncharacteristic. I'm not really sure. You know, I know, again, the wind is really, really, really tough, and that hole's gotten a lot of people today, but it just felt like from the position he left it in, he might have been able to find a way to get that thing up and down. But that was unfortunate. He made double comeback with a nice birdie at 7. Great, great putt, actually. Hit it in there behind the hole, just on the fringe, probably made about a 12-footer down the hill. It was really, really nice. Came back, gave it back at 8, which is, again, surprising, especially as good as he tends to play the par 5s around here. So he had a little 8-footer for eagle in round 1 and had to scramble for a bogey in round 2 on that hole. And then, you know, look, the back 9, I mean, I know 10's not officially part of Amen Corner, but it's on the doorstep. And 10, 11, 12 got him. He's had 2 bounce-back birdies on 13 and 15, so you got to take care of the par 5s, and he's done that. We'll see how he can grind into the house here. But, you know, look, he's still in it. The furthest shots that people have come back is down 8. And I know it's sitting at plus 2 right now. He's a little bit more than that, but we'll see what Scotty does before he gets in the house, and maybe Tony can pick one more back up.
Yeah, we just watched Tony live on the broadcast miss a birdie opportunity. But he's not the only big-name golfer that's struggling. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele also over par. What do you notice about those players? The same thing, right? What's holding them back right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I think most of these guys, if they're just not quite sharp, they're getting exposed, and that's what the high winds will do, especially on a razor when the edge is razor thin out here like it is at Augusta. We mentioned early in the week that this golf course was firm, and that's really good unless you get these kind of conditions, and it just makes it that much harder. The margin of error that much smaller, and so you know, guys like McIlroy, Schauffele, and they're not completely out of it. Again, I don't want to write them completely off here. McIlroy's at plus 3. He's tied for 34th currently, 33rd. You see he's moving up. The board's changing all the time. Schauffele's tied 23rd there at plus 1. So I do think that there's still a lot to be said here. And watch for a little breath of fresh air as these guys come out tomorrow. The winds will be up a little bit, but down significantly from today. And then Sunday's supposed to be pretty calm, especially in the morning. So you can see some guys get on a roll and go post some numbers when they finally have some breathing room without all this blustery wind that they've had to battle over the last 2 days.
Well, that'll set up for a nice Sunday. One last one for you, Brian. Any surprises? Is there somebody who's lurking there in the mix you didn't see that could stick around and make a push with the big names?
You know, that's a good, you know, Højgaard is playing for the first time. So for his first round at Augusta, his first 2 rounds, to go 67, 73 in these kind of conditions, and he's currently sitting there 4th. I think that's pretty admirable. Colin Morikawa is a guy that should be talked about a lot more and has top 10s, I think, in 3 of the last 5. He's sitting there tied for 5th. 71-70. And this is the thing, I think we talked about this before. Of all the records for the low rounds, there's only a couple of players that have had any of those low round records that have actually gone on to win. Most of them don't necessarily win the championship. It's not one of these home run kind of parks. It just requires a whole lot of good, you know, good play over 4 days. And so you look at a guy like Morikawa, 71-70, you know, not anything to write home. There's no 65, there's no 66 in there, but, you know, he's there just at 3 under par and just a few shots back. So I like a guy that's got that consistency as opposed to, like, you know, Bryson that went 65-73 today. I'm much more comfortable looking at a guy like Morikawa, who's already a two-time major winner, sitting there with 71-70. He actually got one shot better in today's tougher conditions. So, you know, that might be a guy that you keep an eye on. We've talked a lot about Hobert. That guy is also playing in not only his first Masters, but his first major championship. And he is set to be kind of everyone's expecting him to be the next superstar. And there he is inside the top 10 and under par at 2 under. So, yeah, I mean, those are some of the guys that probably stand out right now just by a quick glance.
Brian, you've been awesome this week. We appreciate having you, and your analysis is just amazing. No one does it better than you and Bob. Real Golf Radio tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m., before everyone tunes in to watch the third round. What do you guys have from 8 to 10 right here on the KSL Sports Zone tomorrow?
Yeah, we're just getting ready to go, you know, full tilt on this thing as it wraps up. And you'll hear from Tony Finau. We've had a chance to catch up with him. Max Homa, what a great interview. Some terrific insights. That guy's mental game and everything he's been through to get to this point right now and the way he's handled it is awesome. Scottie Scheffler also with some great comments and great interviews. So we'll be hearing from some of those players. And, well, of course, the caddy will join us. Everybody loves him. And we'll have we'll just be leaning on Bob and the Casper knowledge to break down this tournament and get ready for the weekend at the Masters. It's going to be exciting.
That's going to be outstanding. Real Golf Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. Listen to it on Saturday morning on the KSL Sports Zone before you watch the third and final rounds. Brian, enjoy the weekend. We're all jealous that you get to enjoy Augusta. It should be a fantastic end to this wild Masters so far. Unpredictable. Who knows how this is going to end, but it should be interesting.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, for sure. And, guys, we appreciate you having us on the show, lending your audience, and be able to talk a little golf with you guys on occasion. It's always fun. We appreciate it and hope you all enjoy it.
You're the best, Brian. Thanks. Brian Taylor, live from the Masters. That's a breakdown right there. That's great
next
info.
Level.
If you're watching the Masters here, that was great analysis on a lot of different guys and what's going on there. The wind, obviously, you can imagine we've all tried to do anything in the wind, but let alone how do you golf in the wind like that when you have gusts like that? Seriously, I'm watching the Masters. It looks like Laramie out there right now. That's a strong breeze at Augusta that's wreaking havoc, but those guys are pros, and they're going to manage it, and by the time we get to Sunday, it should be nice and beautiful.
Yeah, clearly it impacted the scoring, too. For many players, well over par today for their scoring, and so that wind is having an impact, and you know, for someone like Brian, who's been around Augusta year after year, to just almost be floored by a particular condition, like that just doesn't happen down in Augusta because they are known for their pristine, perfect conditions at this event. So it's definitely having an impact, that's for sure.
Well, just to your point and to his point about the wind, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now, and the top five are one over, DeChambeau. Max Homa's one under. Scheffler's even. Hoggard is one over. Cam Davis is even.
Mm-hmm.
So your top guys on the board right now are struggling in that wind to get birdies. They're just not – the opportunities are not there. In fact, I'll look here. The best score of the day so far is a 3 under by Ludvig Åberg. He went 69 in that round. 3 under is the best score of the day in round two so far. A few guys still out there, obviously. In fact, a lot of guys still out there, including – Tony Finau, who's finishing up his round, but not easy out there on the course today.
Kind of like U.S. Open type scoring a little bit. It's where it's just such a grind and difficult, and that's kind of what it's feeling like as the Masters continue to roll on in round two.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've got more on the NHL to Utah situation, some developments there, an update for you, and some confirmations of some reports, and you'll also hear from the players and what they're dealing with. They finally speak out on this situation, players that could be playing for you, in front of you, starting this fall. So we'll have a NHL to Utah update next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.